ever wonder why the trips you take have no pizzazz or leave you exactly the same way you arrived?
This is
Avoid the Tourist Trap,
a guide to undo the do what everyone else is doing and experience cultures like a local. With your hosts,
Kev
and Cons.
Whatever you do,
avoid the tourist trap.
Just not this podcast.
You're going to need a lot of unlearning and you're in for a trip.
Literally.
Avoid the tourist trap.
This is a continuation of a previous episode.
How magical was it for your son? You know, because usually it's like room service, you know.
And yeah. I mean, words couldn't express how amazed he was, but plus, he was there with other little French kids who didn't speak a lick of English, and he's figuring it out. They had a soccer ball. Guess what? They all know how to kick a soccer ball, so they're playing, you know, fake, you know, soccer games, and he's saying some words they're learning, you know, in French.
How amazing.
It was amazing. It was truly amazing.
How amazing. Wow. Château dans les arbres.
Yep.
And how did you hear about this place, by the way?
Well, no, again, the relatives that were over there.
Oh, so the locals were the ones who said.
The locals, yes. So that was like a local. So if you've got an in with some locals, just tap into that.
Tap into that, yeah.
Swimming pool there.
So don't go the Lonely Planet guide, which is sometimes nice.
But that's fine,
one person's experience. We're talking about an accumulated knowledge. Locals, you know, when we went to the south of Spain, we had locals telling us about things that we couldn't find on Google.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. We went to the swimming pool there. Just a simple, like, you know, the way you go to a swimming pool here, but it's not. There's a whole different process for their swimming pool. And it was amazing.
What process?
Well, so you can't go into the swimming pool area if you're not dressed for the swimming pool area. Like, you know, in the States, you can just watch your kids swim or whatever, you know. But there, no, you have to be in your swimsuit. So I had to buy a little swimsuit there. It was cheap. It was like €8, right? And had to go in and, you know, and then their swimming pool area, they had this, like, little lazy river thing that you could float around and, like, in circles. It was, because they had, you know, it was set up for just, you know, kids and you know, it wasn't just a normal swimming pool. They had that too, but then they had the little stuff for kids, obviously slides and stuff like that.
So Bordeaux, very kid friendly.
Oh yeah, very kid friendly. Well, like Valencia, remember that was super kid friendly too.
It was. The parks were magical. We'll have to do just an episode on that. But so getting back to Bordeaux, what did you have for breakfast? Did you order? Or did you just kind of, again, when it comes to food, how do you like to order?
Well, so what we did for breakfast, we would go to, here's another thing that was interesting. First day there.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting, but I was just thinking about this experience. I was born in Mexico and I took some Swedish friends to Mexico and they wanted to go to Subway for breakfast and it broke my heart. I said, I cannot partake in this travesty. So you guys are going to do this alone. And I went out into the middle of the city and had some people that had a home cook me breakfast. How was your approach? Was it similar? I think we share that mentality of like not doing.
Yeah, no. There was McDonald's and, you know, all the, you know, fast food places there, KFC, Burger King, right? No, didn't do that. That was not happening, right? So it was like, let me experience how they do it. And again, they'll have a little, maybe a croissant and a coffee. That's it. So I would just pull up on the Google Maps and find out, you know, I searched coffee and then bring what popped up and look at places with great reviews and go check them out.
So it's still, you know, searching. Will it still helps?
Yeah. I mean, it's.
What are you driven to? Is it a mix of search while walking and finding a convergence?
Well, yeah, and then what's a good ambiance? So, you know, what I was saying before, the first day we got there, you know, the jet lag and the time difference, blah blah blah. We were out the door 7:30 in the morning. Well, Bordeaux is not a city that's up at 7:30 in the morning on a Monday morning. Okay. Nothing was open.
I love
it. First and only place we saw that was open at like 8:30. We were the first people there. We were just walking like, oh my gosh, this city's so beautiful. This is great. Now, we were just outside the city center. So maybe in the city center, that was like a 25-minute walk away from where we were, the dead city center. Maybe there was stuff that was open, but like on the outskirts of it, no. So we walked, and just as we sort of got to one of the big churches on the edge of the outside, there was a place that opened, and it was great. It was an amazing view of a church. Oh, it was beautiful.
Did you stand out as a tourist? Were people kind of...
It didn't stand out where everyone was looking at us, but for sure when we went into the restaurant, we ordered, obviously, in my Tarzan French, and my son doing his thing, like they were super.
But they loved it. They were really like helpful. These guys. They loved it.
They soaked it up. They loved it.
How was people's approach? How did you notice people in the outsides of cities tend to be very social, right? Like they want to find out where you're from, or what was your experience there?
Yeah, everyone kept asking, where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah,
you and I like that, right? It's something kind of that's nice, so...
Well, because they're taking an interest. Like, where are you from? And, like, you're trying to speak my language, you know? Sometimes it was difficult if they were... I find it's easier to understand someone when they slow down and use maybe more basic words, because my French is not very good, right?
So you can't
sometimes people are, all right, yo, you know. So with my hands, I kind of like, you know, make motions to slow it down and, you know.
Est-ce que tu peux parler doucement, s'il vous plaît? Doucement.
Yeah, or lentement, s'il vous plaît.
Lentement, s'il vous plaît.
Plus lentement, s'il vous plaît. Right.
So and they were, and so were they accommodating?
Yes.
What did they want to know about you, by the way? What were their most, what were the biggest questions?
I mean, where are you from? And I would say California. Everyone knows that. Oh, and we're in California. Well, I mean, most everybody knows where California is, right?
Right, right,
I would say United States, where California, you know, and they would always want to know, like, what city? And if I say Santa Monica, people may not know where that is. If I say Los Angeles, people usually know where that is. Yeah, okay. So that's kind of what it is. Like, if you say Idaho, people will be like, what?
Iowa? Yeah. Yeah, that's a conversation starter. So people were asking, where are you from? California. What else did they ask?
Well, why are you here? You know what I mean? Like, Bordeaux is not... Again, I get this. When I travel to the off-the-beaten-path kind of places, Bordeaux, I mean, it's not that off-the-beaten-path, but it is, because people generally go to Paris, or maybe the Nice, but Bordeaux is not. It's a place where French people go, and maybe other Europeans, but not as many Americans go there. There are Americans, but not as many.
So it's exciting in the sense that you won't, you know, that you'll have people reaching out. There's a small population, but there's many resources to have it be a very, you know, you can. It sounds like there's transportation.
There's everything you need.
Everything you need.
Yeah, I have yet to be to a to I've yet to go to a city in Europe that really hasn't had everything you need.
By the way, the architecture is just impeccable as well.
Yeah,
tell us about that, because I was going to say Bordeaux. I'd say for those that don't know, probably what comes to mind is wine, right?
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, that's what made the city's name and famous, and they have wine regions there, and you can do trips in Bordeaux to go visit, like, the wineries or around Bordeaux. Saint-Emilion is a city that's about half hour east of Bordeaux, and it's a beautiful, super picturesque city that's famous for wine. I mean, there's so many things you can do. But yeah, it's a city famous for the wine.
Saint-Emilion is a population of 2,000.
Yeah, nothing. But yet you go there and, yeah, look it up. Google Images. It's beautiful. And it's, you know, it's so picturesque. It's amazing. There's so many places around there. We didn't get to go to the dunes. They have sand dunes there. That'll have to be next time.
Oh,
to the west, yeah, huge, like, you know, like massive sand dunes to the west of Bordeaux. That, I mean, there's so many things. Everyone's, you got to do this, you got to do that, and then you run out of time. You think you have enough time in a month to do all these things, and there just wasn't enough time, you know, got to go back.
So that's east of Bordeaux. So even though you also went to Bordeaux, you still wanted to go to other places around Bordeaux. So you went to Saint-Emilion. Yeah. What other places? Did you go to the vineyards in Saint-Emilion?
We went to some of the, not the vineyards, but some of the wine shops there. We also went, there's this amazing city called Sarlat. And it's about 2 hours east of, we rented a car and did this.
You rented a car? How did you rent a car? Did you go to your typical Avis Hertz?
Online. Everything nowadays online. So you just Google and, hey, I want to rent for 2 days. You know, what's the price? And okay, boom. But so did that. And then this place called Sarlat, S-A-R-L-O-T, Sarlat is like 2 hours east of Bordeaux. And there's a train that goes there actually directly from Bordeaux.
So you went in train?
No. We did a rental car, but you don't need one. You can go. We wanted to just kind of do a little more of a road trip. But it was amazing. It's a 14th. It's one of the most well-preserved 14th century village cities, whatever you want to call it, villages in all of France, if not all of Europe. It was amazing.
How was your son's experience in traveling, being on the train? What was his interests?
He's a kid, and he loves stuff that kids are attracted to. That castle and the tree fort up in the at the castle was amazing. He loved looking at the castle. Like, castle? We don't have castles here in the States. There's a castle, Daddy. You know, stuff like that. And,
by the way, it is, they are impressive not only by size but because they were built, you know, back then with rocks, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the history too, like somebody used to own this, somebody still owns it. But what was the system like then? What is it like now? And
did you have him ask about history? Did you find yourself also wanting to learn a little bit more about history?
With that, to me, is part that comes, you know. Like, let's say when we went to Saint-Emilion, we were looking at, you know, what's this place about? How did they get to be the way it is? Even Bordeaux, how did it become Bordeaux? You learn the things that get the place to be the way it is. So history kind of becomes part of the conversation.
Now, Sarlat is known for foie gras. For those who don't know, foie gras geese liver.
Yeah, which I guess is not really allowed here in the States anymore. But
right, we apologize to those who are vegan, and but for those who are not,
yeah, I was there. I tried it. I mean, it was
I love foie gras. I remember getting fresh foie gras from La Campagne, which probably came from where you went in Paris, but you went to the source. How was that? Did your son try it?
No, he won't eat anything besides like four different types of foods. He's not very food adventurous yet.
He's all about the pasta.
Yeah. He's still not off his little pasta kick, but. As far as like that, I mean, it's amazing because they have different, like, say, Bordeaux is famous for their Bordeaux wine. Mm-hmm. Champagne is famous for champagne. Right? So the different places are famous for different things, but Périgord, that whole area there, is famous for foie gras. They had,
Périgord?
Périgord, yeah.
So those are, and by the way, when I hear Périgord, I'm thinking truffles.
Truffles, that was the other thing.
Okay, yeah. But by the way, it's summer. Summer is not the season for truffles.
Right, the winter truffles.
There are. I'm not going to admit it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a summer truffle from Périgord than a truffle in Idaho. By the way, there's people, you know, it's like, oh, Oregon has them. We're not going to get into that discussion, but tell us, did you get to try? So you tried.
I'm going there. But here's the crazy thing. So not only did I have truffles there, and we're going to have another podcast about the other part of my trip where I went to like the Adriatic, but I was in Albania, And I was in those areas of the Adriatic right across from Italy. They grow truffles that are like
okay,
the...
Okay, let's keep that for episode... Let's keep that for episode number
that's
two.
That's a little... Yeah,
this is wonderful because it's the kid-friendly. You're trying new things.
And James, by the way, he likes truffle, so he tried some truffle too.
Truffle
pasta.
Truffle pasta. Wow, did he like it?
Oh, he's had that before, but yeah, he's there. It's because everything there is just super fresh. I have this little joke that I say to people. It's not really a joke, because it's kind of true. Here we have what's called farm-to-table food. Right? Oh, yeah. Hey, it's farm to table, this whole movement, and it's like really expensive. There, they just call that food.
These are like, right? That's where it comes
They're
from.
Like going to frozen, you know, whatever they go to, you know, and then microwave it up, and here's your meal. None of that. Like, everything is farm to the restaurant, restaurant to your table. That's what they do there. And
here
the
you
food
have
is
to,
so fresh and amazing.
Oh, how nice. Here you have to question the kind of like, is it actually really organic or farm to table? I was at a farmer's
GMO
market
and
I saw one of the berries and they were from Walmart. So there's some people that resell things just because they know they can sell it for a lot. And over there, that's what people eat. They also buy smaller. Things are seasonal.
Yep.
You go to a market and they don't have this abundance of, you know, like bananas. You have bananas all the time, apples all the time. And...
Well, here's one thing that I found, another tip on like saving money or whatever. There are a lot of places that have those menu of the day, menu du jour, whatever it is.
Menu du jour.
What that ends up being is they have a whole bunch of stuff that they got at the farmer's market that day that they bought that, you know, and then they make whatever they make from that. And so you're getting fresh stuff in season that's at a, you know, it's like, let's say it's like 18 euro for all in. You get your starter, you get your you know, your
that's
your
the plate, main meal, the, your dessert, your drink. The fixed price, the prix, right?
Yeah, exactly. The price fixed, yep. Fixed price menu.
And by the way, this is not like Anthony Bourdain would say that when you see a special, it's because they're getting rid of stuff. In Europe, it's the opposite.
This is
seasonal.
It was fresh in season. They bought a ton of it and hit, you know, here you go. And every time I had that, it was great.
Anything that stands out that you can think of?
I mean, I had so many amazing meals. I went to one restaurant. You would have loved this place. Restaurant Sun, S-O-N, with the little apostrophe next to it. And they're this restaurant that would be like a Michelin star-rated kind of restaurant, but they don't want that.
Was this in Bordeaux?
This is Bordeaux, yeah. They don't, you know, you don't have all the waiters kind of hovering over you all the time. But the food was exceptional, and it had a price fixed meal for 25 euro. Now, $25 for a full course meal, that's not cheap. But for this level of exceptional quality and taste and presentation, like, you know, it blew my mind. And I'm with a foodie, a buddy of mine who came over to visit for a flash, Craig.
And how did you hear about this place?
Like a sommelier level.
How did you hear about this place? Did it have a Michelin star?
No, they don't want it. Their chef, they're not looking to get one. Their chef was the number one rated chef in some, they do something in France.
Was that the chef that returned it, that he said he didn't want it?
No. I don't think they've ever wanted one. They don't want to. There are certain things that come encompassed with the Michelin star with, you know, that they didn't want that.
Pressure, web traffic.
Well, no. Just the level of service where you have to have waiters that kind of hover around and come every three or four. It was high-end fine dining without the cost of high-end fine dining. It was 25 euro, which $25, the way it was for me. Not inexpensive, but amazing.
Yeah, this
meal.
I'm looking at the pig. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Blah 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 blah.
it is very modern. The furniture looks impeccable. The dishes look impeccable. So we both have been in Michelin star experiences from 1 to 3. And what would you say this was, you know, for 25 euros? And you're saying it
for 25 euros, you will not have a better meal. But hold on, price aside, you're probably not going to have a better meal in your life. right? Because at that level, when you're at that level of quality and taste, generally, it's like, oh my God, this was amazing. But oh my God, that was amazing. You know, whatever it might be, they're all on the level of amazing, right? You can't really get much better than that. But when you throw in the fact that it was $25, what do Michelin star restaurants cost around the world? They're going to be $150, $200, $250, $300 or more.
A one star, I'd say like $100. Of a three star, it can go anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000, especially. So, and if you drink
$25.
Wow. Yeah, $25. $25 is fast food.
That was your starter. That was your main, and that was your dessert. Right. So where are you getting that? At that kind of a, you're just not. So, I mean, you asked how we found it. It was kind of dumb luck. We Googled again, and
yeah, it says here 25 euros for the menu, the CMD, the afternoon. Holy, $25.
Holy, is
fast food price for inflation right now.
Exactly. Yeah, a little more than that. But the point is, it was exceptional. And we just stumbled upon it. But then we stumbled upon other things. We stumbled upon this place that you had asked earlier about the milk, the cheeses and stuff. We found a fresh mozzarella place where all they do is make fresh mozzarella.
Oh.
We went in, and for 6 euros, we got a whole jar of all these fresh mozzarella balls. I have never had mozzarella. I didn't know mozzarella could taste like that. I've never had mozzarella in my life that was so amazing. Mm. It was crazy. So you find stuff like this all over the place. People specialize in things that blow your mind.
For those who might not be aware, the reason why many cheeses might not be as tasty or sometimes not healthy here in the U.S. is because of pasteurization. In order to make some of these cheeses, they don't pasteurize them so that they can have the right fermentation. Continue fermenting, and that's why you have to eat it within a certain range. They don't have a long shelf life, but cheese is not bad. You know, there's this mindset of, you were mentioning even bread, like, oh, just don't eat bread. Don't eat cheese. Don't eat chocolate.
Everything in moderation is fine.
But also, more than moderation, is these cheeses have probiotics. Here, people they spend $100 to get a probiotic supplement. Over there, it's like, why don't you just enjoy it on a piece of cheese?
Have this cheese, and you'll
going to be good for your intestine. You might think like, oh, you're going to have this indigestion. No, indigestion is usually when you just eat excessively at something that your body can't even digest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there might be people that have issues, lactose or whatever. Obviously, we're not recommending, we're not doctors or anything, right? But the basics of what you're saying, absolutely across the board, you can eat the portions. What I find we get here is a lot of quantity. You'll get plates, you go to that's what I found coming back here. You get the big plate of whatever versus over there, it's smaller quantity. But it's quality, and oh my gosh, it's amazing.
And you also spend time. Remember when we were in the south of Spain and saying, Kevin, turn around. Do you see anybody on their phones?
Yeah, no.
There was not one person on their phones.
You're there having a conversation with who you're with. What?
Even the kids were talking to the adults, and we said, there's something going on here.
Connection.
So, people. I would you say that people take more time in having food is not only something that that'll get you to point B, but it's almost like this is an experience.
It's an experience. It's in several. You know, I'll just speak of Bordeaux and Valencia. There's several places I've been to. It seems like it's a European thing where the meal is not just, oh, I need to eat, let me throw something down and then run off to do something else. It's the experience of the meal where you share your day with somebody, you talk about whatever's happening, it's not just eat this meal. And what's crazy about it is the meals that I've had over there generally are so much more impactful in terms of the taste. Less food coming at you slower. A meal over there could take 2 hours versus here in 10 minutes, sit down, get your meal, eat it, done, leave.
And that in Spain is called the sobremesa. It's the time that you spend after you've eaten, or even while you're eating, you go like, what are these people just talking about? Like, do they get anything done? And then you realize, well, maybe it's not about doing, you know, maybe it's also about just having a break from life.
Yeah, and enjoying the moment, smelling the roses. Is that what they say?
Yeah, don't forget to stop and smell the roses. And this is don't forget to stop and smell the mozzarella or the truffle. It is to not know what your meals taste like. To not know, I think food just even you can have a very lame day, and food will make it extraordinary.
Well, that's one thing I did, you know, over there. So again, we were there visiting some of, you know, some distant relatives, and the way they approached food when they were making a meal, they weren't just throwing it together. They would take a little extra time to do to cut the tomato just so, or to garnish it on top with a little bit of, you know, whatever. The extra little bits that take a little extra time, not much, but that tell you that they're actually treating it more like a chef would treat making a meal than, well, here, let me just take this thing out of the freezer, pop it in the microwave, here's your meal.
Yeah.
You know, it there's a whole different approach of, it's almost as if the purpose for food is to kind of not reward yourself, but like to, you know, to be something that provides more than just nourishment to yourself.
And we had that experience. We had this moment where we realized food is good food, fresh food, local food is such an essential part of humanity. It brings us together. It helps us convey some of the. I have found that sometimes our best. What do you call that? Our brainstorms, which I don't like the word storm. I love storms, but you know, I like the cross pollination. You know,
of ideas and
you're having this. You're being one intoxicated by the chemical dance that's happening in your brain, and these wonderful ideas come in not only about business. Yes, we love business because it's let us have this opportunity to enjoy life while we're also producing, but most importantly, to just enjoy life and to go, like how amazing can life be? And definitely food is what does it. But by the way, for those who
don't
know,
it's a foundation of life. Everyone needs to eat. Why not make that something special?
There is a movie called Delicious, which is the story of the first restaurant in the world, that it happened in France, and it was from someone who worked for royalty and had a really bad experience having to deal with the people in royalty, and he went off to do it on his own, and I would highly recommend
it. What's it called?
Delicious, which means delicious.
Delicious.
It is French, and it is the tale of the first restaurant with a little contemporary.
Oh wow! I gotta
spin.
Watch that. Is it like a documentary or
no? It's a film. Really, by the way, French films. I'm a big fan of French films and French directors, but the photography is impeccable, and how you see this passion of this person for food and how he likes to do different things. And I remember this he got tired of working with the royalties because they wanted the same things, and he wanted to do something just creative. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And with potatoes, and
he's an artist.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to say,
no,
you know, the French food first restaurant
it's tale. Perfect that we're talking about food and the Bordeaux experience
and Bordeaux and and it was in the outskirts of Paris, and by the way,
well, what I was going to say is, I mean, we've talked about so many things. We could go on for hours about this, but to kind of come full circle on this, what I get is the experience in traveling to places that might be a little off the beaten path. Bordeaux for me is just a teeny bit off the beaten path. I've done really off the beaten path stuff. We can get into that later and we can talk about that on another app. But this was an experience that really, it was a home run, in terms of getting to live life like a local in an area that's not used to being overrun by tourists, especially American tourists, where I got to practice a language I don't know. Even the pleasantries of, bonjour or whatever, hello, good day. And, then all of these other things we've been talking about that were a result of just being in another place that has a slightly different way of doing life. It was amazing.
And to be open to things that you might have some strong opinions about, bread and cheese. If you've had a bad experience with bread and cheese in the U.S., maybe you've had just horrible flour and horrible dairy. There is such a thing as sometimes people that think, I might be lactose intolerant. No, you're intolerant to bad food, like your body's intoxicated. And you might even detox just by walking more, trying food that is fresh, that stimulates your natural chemistry,
the way your body was kind of made to handle things. It's interesting you mentioned the walking more thing, because somehow with all the food I was eating, the cheeses, the breads, I lost a couple pounds, right? And I think a lot of it was because portions were smaller. I was walking a lot more. My legs got super, not that they weren't toned to begin with, but
And you're pretty active, right? You're pretty active.
Yeah, I'm active to begin with. So these ancillary things that you didn't even know that were going to be kind of byproducts of the lifestyle over there. It's just so many cool things. Plus learning how to be there, tricks to be able to make it more affordable, to get there cheaper, to get around and save money, going to places with the fixed price menus, all these different ways to be able to experience this and not break the bank.
So learn from the locals, prep. Would you say that at least find the basics of communication of hi,
yes,
thank you, may, yes, I have, which is...
Wait, I wouldn't even use may I have. Honestly, if you're going to do four words, it's hello,
salut,
goodbye, or those two,
bonjour,
or hi, bye, whatever, and then please, bonsoir, and bonjour, thank you. Those four words are the ones for me that in any culture, any language I've been there, people really appreciate it.
Download
even
Duolingo.
Everything else is English.
Download Duolingo now.
And also Google Translate. That was very helpful.
And Google Translate.
That's how I, if I'm going to obscure places in the world, that's what I'll use to, and there's only been one country I've been to that they didn't have the words.
And by the way, obscure, it is in no way obscure. Sometimes you realize, gosh, I wish my city had this obscurity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, gosh,
blew my mind
transportation.
About the obscure places. I was like, this place is awesome.
Yeah. So be open to the discomfort, be open to surprises. How would you say you're feeling now that you're back?
I mean, I'm looking forward to going again, right?
Wow.
It's great to be back. It's always great to be back in the routine and everything else. But I'm the kind of guy that I'm always planning that next trip because I love the travel, the experience and all that.
So thank you, Kevin, for enlightening us, enriching us and making us realize that our summer trip was not that exciting.
And for
those who said something's gonna happen out there, well, nothing happened. Some people had a really good time. Get off the news. Go enjoy life. And for our next episode,
one last thing too is just have, get out of your comfort zone, like we talked about before. Like maybe it doesn't seem like a trip outside of the country is even feasible, but if you look at different ways, who do I know that lives somewhere that I've never been before that's out of the country? Maybe there's ways to connect in a way that it actually might be less expensive than you think and may not actually really cost all that much.
It's not as expensive, myth, summer does not have to be expensive as well. Be flexible, arrive somewhere different, leave somewhere different.
I love it.
Kiwi, Google Flights, Duolingo, learn a little bit of language, tell the people that you're visiting that you care. Don't expect people to accommodate to you. Try new things.
Have fun and enjoy the adventure.
And stay tuned because, not that we're a radio, but, you know, follow us, download this, because you also have to learn from people who are experiencing it. I think sometimes we've been doing this and we just thought, hey, that was the way we like to do it. Maybe we would like to share a little bit.
And hopefully we can inspire somebody else to do it for themselves or with their family, however it might work.
And it is child friendly. When in France, don't just Paris. Don't forget to Bordeaux it. And we'll see you next episode for the Baltic States. Woo! Thank you, Kevin. And that was
Avoid the Tourist Trap.